sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with English Premier League football. It's match week 7, and there are 10 fixtures scheduled this weekend. Everton and Crystal Palace will kick things off later Friday night at Goodison Park in Liverpool. The Toffees of Everton currently have 13 points after 6 matches, putting them 5 points behind first-place Manchester City. The Eagles of Crystal Palace, meanwhile, have 10 points after 6 matches. Star striker Romelu Lukaku, who has 4 goals so far this season, is scheduled to start for Everton despite a foot injury. And Crystal Palace's Ivory Coast-born winger, Wilfried Zaha, returns to the squad after missing last week's victory at Sunderland with a hamstring injury. However, Crystal Palace's manager, Alan Pardew, has confirmed that young Belgian striker Jonathan Benteke will be sidelined 3 to 4 months with a knee injury suffered in training. Front-running Man City is off to a red-hot start under new Spanish manager Pep Guardiola, and the club will aim for its 7th consecutive victory when it visits Tottenham on Sunday at White Hart Lane in London. The Spurs of Tottenham are currently in 2nd place in the league table with 14 points. A couple of quick Premier League fun facts for our Voice of America listeners. Man City has lost their last 2 Premier League meetings with Tottenham. And if Man City wins on Sunday, Pep Guardiola will set a new record for best winning start to a managerial career in the Premier League. He's currently tied with the Italian Carlo Ancelotti, who's now in charge of Bayern Munich in Germany. Ancelotti won his first 6 Premier League matches with Chelsea in 2009. Also Sunday, Manchester United is at home against Stoke at Old Trafford. Manchester United has 12 points from 6 matches, while Stoke is near the bottom of the table with 2 points. Man U is coming off a 1-0 victory Thursday over the Ukrainian club Zorya in a Europa League contest. Swedish star Zlatan Ibrahimovic headed home the game-winning goal in the 2nd half. At the post-match news conference in Manchester, Man U's manager Jose Mourinho had this to say.
Hard work. We deserve to win. We tried to win. But it was difficult. They were very well organized defensively, as we expect. And they try to delay, which they did. And they kept always the danger they have in the wingers in their counter-attack. So the game was difficult. So we had to play, I don't say amazingly well, because we didn't, but we had to play well to win.
To win again on Sunday in the Premier League, Jose Mourinho says his club cannot be overconfident against Stoke.
Let us concentrate on Stoke, because Stoke is another poison gift, because Stoke is not what the table sees. The manager is very good, the players are good, the team is good. So when I look to the table, that's not Stoke position. And I play against a good Stoke and not the Stoke that is in that position in the table.
Manchester United Football Club manager Jose Mourinho. Let's take a quick look at the early season leaders in Spain's La Liga and Germany's Bundesliga. Real Madrid is in first place in La Liga with 14 points from 6 matches. Barcelona has 13 points, and Atletico Madrid, Villarreal, and Athletic Bilbao all have 12 points. Carlo Ancelotti's Bayern Munich is on top of the Bundesliga with 15 points from 5 matches. Borussia Dortmund has 12 points, and Cologne has 11 points. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to African football, a Malawian referee is blazing new trails after officiating at major tournaments like this year's Olympics in Brazil and the FIFA Women's World Cup. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report from Lamech Messina.
Benedict Quimbilanzika's passion for refereeing started when she joined the Malawian army as a soldier 16 years ago. As a soldier, she used to attend football matches.
At that time, the only thing I knew about football was the offside thing. So when the assistant referee raises a flag and then there's this referee who puts his arm up, whistle, point the other direction. So I was so much interested with what the referees were doing.
A mother of two who now works as a secretary in the University of Malawi had to attend a refereeing course for beginners where she earned a grade 3 refereeing certificate. She has now been officiating matches for 14 years, and she has risen to the top of her field at both local and international levels. This year, Quimbilanzika became the first Malawian female referee to officiate at the Olympics. Last year, she became the first Malawian to referee at the FIFA Women's World Cup held in Canada. Also, last year, she was voted the best assistant referee for Malawi's top-level Super League. In 2013, Quimbilanzika scooped up the best referee accolade for the Confederation of African Football Elite A referees course for males and females held in Egypt.
Of course, I wanted to get far with Football Association, but to be honest with you, there was not even a single day I imagined myself officiating at the world's biggest football event like the World Cup, the Olympics.
She owes her success to the adherence to the rules of the game.
As a good referee, you don't have to pretend that you haven't seen something when you have clearly seen it, or to make your own rules. Where it requires a yellow card, you have to caution that player. Where it requires a send-off, you have to show that player a red card.
She says being a female football referee in a country where soccer officiating is dominated by men, she endures insult from soccer fans every time she steps on the field of play. She says some people tell her to officiate netball, one of the most popular women's sports in Malawi. She expects this, however, and says, "I do not give it a damn." Madaliso Peel is a sports editor at privately owned Capital Radio. He says he has long following Quimbilanzika's style of officiating.
I can't remember any games that have ended in any kind of controversy, be it violence or that the teams were not happy with some of the decisions she made. So it speaks volume that this lady knows what she does.
Kwimbilanzika, who is 35 years old, says it is her wish to maintain her reputation as a good referee until she retires, probably in 5 years' time. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Zomba.
Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively sunny man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African athletics, one of our big stories this week was an outstanding run by Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele in the BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. Kenenisa is already the world record holder at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. And he came real close to adding the marathon distance to his world record resume. The Ethiopian athlete clocked 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 3 seconds in Berlin, only 6 seconds outside the Kenyan Dennis Kimeto's world record, also set in the German capital in 2014. The energetic Andy Edwards had a chance to chat with Kenenisa after his big run in Berlin. Here's Andy.
Kenenisa Bekele showed what a truly great runner he is at the BMW Berlin Marathon, winning one of the best marathon races I've ever seen in over 30 years of reporting. He's here with me now. Just look back at that race. I think what impressed so many people, Kenenisa, was, you know, at 39 kilometres, Wilson had pushed three times and you stayed with him and then you went ahead. To be honest, I didn't think you could do that, but you did. Did you surprise yourself?
Actually, I don't surprise that because, I know what I train. I know my capacity. Just, I feel something difficult, around 25, between 25, 35 kilometers. But I couldn't surprise about it because I know myself. I'm strong, and how I prepared for this race. So,
and let's look at the future then. You've proved what a great marathon runner you are with this 2:03:03. For the future, do you think of, well, you're the Ethiopian record holder, of course, having broken Haile's record. Do you think of next year's World Championships in London and going for selection for the marathon?
Really, I don't know, because it's a long way, after this there is many marathons coming out, so just I don't know from now, because I have to wait, till the time reach.
You did talk at the press conference after the race about, shall we say, the criteria that the Ethiopian Federation used. It meant that you weren't selected for Rio, the Olympics, and you were kind of, I thought you were a little, shall we say, joking about maybe they'll change their criteria again. It does seem that at present you don't have a high opinion of the way they select their runners for championships.
Yes, it's a little bit, you know, quite a joke, but of course, you know, maybe, you know, we will see how they select the future. So I think now they understand, you know, why I complained, you know, on that time to go to Rio. I think now they understand that why I'm asking. So I showed them, you know, evidence.
So it definitely would be an ambition of yours, if selected, you would want to run the World Championship Marathon next year in London.
Of course, for sure, yes. Yeah.
I remember that before this race in Berlin, you said kind of for the first time you could train properly as a marathon runner compared to London where you were third. What do you think you're capable of now in terms of time? I mean, only 6 seconds outside the world record. What can you do the next time you run, say, in a big city race?
I think, you know, I have to adjust something, you know, just a little, you know, adjustment. I need something, maybe in my training, some adjustment. But, you know, really, this performance is, you know, fantastic performance for me. You know, it's great.
And just lastly, I remember reading or hearing from you in London, the London Marathon in April, that you hadn't been able to train as much, perhaps you'd done shorter runs, not so many long runs, but now are you doing as many long runs and speed work as you want to do?
Yes, you know, for the London, I had some problems, you know, the injury was not finished fully, completely, so that's why, you know, I couldn't cover all my trainings. So for this race, really, I prepared well, you know, I'm fully prepared and satisfied, you know, about my training.
Well, you certainly were prepared. It was a privilege for all of us to see you in action, and all the best for the future. I think we're going to be really excited to see you in your next marathon, World Championship or Big City. Kenenisa Bekele, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Kenenisa in Berlin, Germany. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Friday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Very happy Friday to you and sporty greetings to you as well, Sonny.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, you know, for Olympians, a lot of them say that the best moment of their Olympic career probably is, you know, the highest is getting a gold medal. Or any medal, really. And then walking into the arena and the opening ceremony, those are kind of the consistent moments that Olympians cite. But there's another moment that happened yesterday, well after the Olympics, that a lot of Olympians are saying, no, this is definitely up there with those moments. And that's getting to go to the White House to meet President Obama. He had a number of Olympians come yesterday to the White House to celebrate Olympians and Paralympians for their great work. And so we had some funny stories come out of this on social media, namely with the gymnastics team, the women's gymnastics team. At one point with the women gymnast, President Obama joked that he was going to come in and do a floor routine with them. He's going to like walk in and do a floor routine as he's walking in. But then Michelle Obama joked, said he can't even touch his toes. And he said, I can't even touch my toes. He's not nearly as flexible as those gymnasts. The other gymnastics moment that we saw is Michelle Obama and Simone Biles. Now, Simone Biles, we've talked about, is 4'9" tall. That's about 144 centimeters. Michelle Obama is 5'11". That's about 180 centimeters. So you have this photo where Michelle Obama is leaning and resting her elbow and kind of leaning on Simone Biles' head, using her as kind of a leaning post to show the height difference between the two of them. So that was a nice little moment that we saw on social media. But a lot of talk, too, about two athletes that weren't there at the White House yesterday. One, of course, is Ryan Lochte. He's been banned for, I think, 10-month ban. And part of that is that he's not able to go to the White House with the fellow Olympians to be greeted by the President and First Lady. The other is actually another female gymnast, Gabby Douglas. She actually had her wisdom teeth removed, so she was unable to attend. So a lot of people wondering where she was. That was the reason why she had to have some dental surgery and couldn't make it. But I guess she went in 2012 and got to hang out with them in 2012. So she probably said, been there, done that. I can, you know, come back anytime and see them now that I'm a gold medal winning gymnast.
And with the Obamas leaving office very soon, I guess this might be the last sort of sporty celebration they have, or one of the last, at the White House.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see, especially if the Washington Nationals here in D.C., if they get to the playoffs, or they're going to be in the playoffs, but if they make a run in the playoffs or even get to the World Series, I wouldn't be surprised to see President Obama at some of those games. He's a huge baseball fan. But as far as welcoming champion athletes to the White House, I think this is the last go for them. Every year it's a tradition. They welcome the World Series winning team in baseball, the NBA championship team, the WNBA championship team. So they welcome a lot of great athletes and have welcomed a lot of great athletes over the past 7.5 years or so.
Ryder Cup golf taking place this weekend, and I understand one of the Ryder Cup fans is trending, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a fan by the name of David Johnson. He was there in the U.S. state of Minnesota watching some of the practices before the tee-off today, and I guess he was heckling some of the players, specifically Rory McIlroy, for failing to make some putts, and Henrik Stenson of Sweden overheard him and said, "You know what? You come out here, we're going to see if you can make this putt." And Justin Rose said, "You know what? I'll put down $100 and see if you can make this putt. $100 yours." And he literally put a $100 bill down on the course right there. So no pressure, right? You're in front of all these great golfers, whole crowd of people, $100 lying at your feet. And this guy, David Johnson, sinks the putt. And it is like the crowd goes wild. It's like, you know, you think of these moments on the 18th hole when, you know, somebody wins one of the golf majors. It was like that was the reaction from the crowd. You see it in this video that's gone viral on social media, people sharing this video. So he gets $100. He gets his notoriety. And I heard a clip earlier today from him, and they asked him, "How'd you do it?" And he said, "You know, I just looked down, steadied myself, swallowed my puke, and just hit it." So apparently he was about to vomit. And I don't blame him because, you know, in that kind of high-pressure situation, I think I would either pass out or throw up. I don't blame him for that reaction. But despite that, he makes the putt. And like I said, gets $100 and quite a bit of notoriety. In fact, Rory McIlroy tweeted out the video. He said, "Has the Ryder Cup already started?" So, you know, maybe this guy, David Johnson, maybe he could find a spot on the team in the coming years.
Yeah,
who knows?
Wow, what a memory. He'll take that. He'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What else is trending on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, it's we talk about sometimes the intersection of sports and entertainment, and usually it's some sports stars that you know, end up doing guest appearances on shows or appear in movies, that kind of thing. But we have a music star who's actually dipped her. I'd say she's been associated with the sports world for a number of years, kind of dipped her toes into the sports world, and now is going to be a big part of the sports world, and that's Lady Gaga. She's been announced as the Super Bowl halftime show performer for this year. The National Football League season has just started in the U.S., and they've already announced her for the Super Bowl, which I don't think is until February, late January, early February. But she actually sang the national anthem last year at the Super Bowl, so that's why I said she dipped her toes into the sports world, and she's moved up in a big way from national anthem singer last year to halftime performer this year. There's a lot of back and forth on what this means, though. The people saying it could draw in new audiences. There is not maybe a lot of crossover between Lady Gaga fans and football fans, so it could bring new people in to watch the game. But people taking kind of the same point and turning it 180 degrees, saying, well, how many football fans actually listen to Lady Gaga? How many football fans are going to tune in and watch this? So it's we'll see how she does, if she brings any guest performers. There's already rumors that she could bring Beyonce back with her. You know, Beyonce, I think that would make her third time performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. So they should just call it the Beyonce show at that point. But you know, a lot of anticipation. And even though it is so early, I think it's not coincidental that the NFL released this so early, because I think they're trying to build up a lot of hype this season and trying to get a lot of people talking and watching the NFL. So I think this is one way that they're doing that.
Lady Gaga, the Super Bowl halftime entertainment. So we'll look forward to that, Andrew.
Yeah, it should be a good show for sure.
Thank you, Andrew. That's Andrew Palchess, the VOA's social media reporter. And that wraps up the September 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're saying goodbye to September. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
In a further sign of the United States' determination to help the nations of Africa combat terrorism, millions of dollars in rewards are being offered for information on three more leaders of the Al-Qaeda-linked, Somalia-based terrorist organization Harakat Shabab al-Mujahideen, or Al-Shabaab. The men are Yasin Kilwe, Abdikader Mohamed Abdikader, also known as Ikrimah, and Jafar, also known as Ammar. The group, listed as a foreign terrorist organization since 2008, has control of large areas of Somalia and is responsible for the death of thousands of Somali citizens, peace activists, international aid workers, journalists, and civilians, as well as African Union peacekeepers who are helping to restore stability and prosperity to the region. Tens of thousands of people have been forced to flee their homes amid the fighting. Since 2006, Al-Shabaab has engaged in a campaign of violence, including bombings and suicide attacks, which has killed thousands. In July 2010, it planned and executed a bomb attack in Kampala, Uganda, that killed more than 70 people, including an American citizen. Yasin Kilwe is Al-Shabaab's leader in the Puntland region of Somalia. He pledged his allegiance to Al-Qaeda in February 2012. Abdikader was born in Kenya of Somali parents. He has coordinated recruitment of Kenyan youth into Al-Shabaab and commanded a force of Kenyan fighters operating in Somalia. He reportedly has medium-length hair, a thick mustache, and is missing three fingers on his left hand. Jafar has served as Abdikader's deputy and reportedly is missing one eye. If you have information on any of these men, contact the Regional Security Office at the nearest U.S. Embassy. Submit a tip through the RFJ website at www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. The United States guarantees that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the United States is prepared to protect informants by relocating them.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Democracy in Action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.